There is one last Pesach topic that I want to discuss now, and then we will resume normal life. And I have to admit, this topic has been consuming me since, I'd say, half an hour after Yontif. Everyone is calling up and they're saying, can I go shopping in Kfood? Can I go shopping in the Associated? Can I go shopping in, pick a supermarket, pick a place? Am I allowed to buy the chametz there? Or do we assume that it's considered chametz sha'avar alav ha-Pesach?
There's an
So let's go slowly. So there is an Issur D'Rabbanan of Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach. There was a Machlokes HaTanoim, right, in Psachim, on Dav, Chav Zayin, Chav Ches, etc. Rabbi Yehuda holds a Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach is an Issur D'Oraisa. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a Torah prohibition of Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach. Rev Shimon disagrees. Rev Shimon says a Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach is not Aser Min HaTorah, it's only Aser Mid Rabbanan. It's a Knas D'Rabbanan, Zakh Rev Shimon, that because you violated the Isser of Bao Yera'eh U Bao Yimatzeh, because you violated the prohibition of owning Chametz on Pesach, we penalize you and we do not allow you to derive benefit from that Chametz afterwards. That's the sheet of Reb Shimon, and that's how we paskin. Chametz she'avar alav ha-Pesach is an iser d'rabbanon, and it's osir b'hanoa. So now, so Stefan is tining, he says, one second, if the store is non-Jewish owned, what could possibly be the problem, right? And in fact, that is stage one of the conversation, is you have to find out whether the store is Jewish owned or non-Jewish owned. So what about the stores in this neighborhood? What about Kfood, located at Bennett Avenue, corner 187? The owner of Kfood is a nice Puerto Rican fellow named Nemesio De Valle. Is he Jewish?
No.
No, not even close, right? Givaldic, right? Not even close. What could possibly be the problem? So I'll tell you what the problem is. A number of years ago, people found out that supermarkets, especially chains, right, Kfood is a chain. What it means that it's a chain is that each branch is owned by a private owner. So Nemesio owns the Kfood on Bennett and 187th, and Yanko Shmera owns the Kfood here, and Julio owns the Kfood there, whatever it is. But what makes Kfood special is that all of the Kfoods agree to buy their products from one distributor. Right? In other words, the way they're able to get decent prices, if I would just open up a business, so I'm not going to get a good price because, right, why would the distributor give me a good price? Right? But if I'm buying, instead of 20 boxes of Cheerios, I'm buying 200,000 boxes of Cheerios, I'll get a better price. So all the Kfoods together buy their Cheerios from the distributor. Good? The largest distributor on the East Coast of the United States of America. I don't know about the West Coast. Not Costco is a different term. We'll talk about Costco in a few minutes. The largest distributor on the East Coast, which is the 11th largest privately held corporation in the United States. A privately held corporation means that it is not owned by shareholders. Costco is a publicly held company. Costco is owned by shareholders. You could buy stock in Costco, and then you ke'ilu own the chelak of the company, no? But the largest distributor on the East Coast is called that distributes to all of these supermarket chains. Yes, it distributes to the Kfoods, it distributes to the Associated. They distribute cereal and soap and whatever they have in the supermarket. Right. And they have massive, massive warehouses. So Nabisco produces cookies. Nabisco sells the cookies to the distributor. The distributor sells it to the supermarkets. Good? Nabisco, most of the big corporations in America are publicly held. We assume that a publicly held corporation like Costco, like Nabisco, right, is not going to be a problem with Chametz She'avar Pesach because Rav is owned by a guy. And if Rav is owned by a guy, it's not going to be a problem, even though it's a big shaila in Poskim. There are some Poskim assume that if there is a stakeholder, if you have a Jew who's on the corporate board, it might be a halachic problem. But most Poskim assume that publicly held corporations in the United States, we follow Rav. Rav and the shareholders aren't Jewish, therefore it's not going to be a problem. But CNS stands for CNS is what distributes the everything to Key Food, right? And to many of these supermarkets. CNS is Rashi Tavis for Cohen and Siegel. Okay, Cohen and Siegel. Siegel, by the way, stands for Skan LeKahuna. Cohen and the Levi. Right? It says a Cohen and a Levi, two guys, two Yidden, who own the 11th largest privately held company in the United States of America. And right? That is the company. What?
I don't know what Key Food is.
Key Food is this big supermarket, Bennett and 187. This is the biggest supermarket in the Heights. Okay? But there's actually 700 Key Foods around. It's a supermarket chain. What?
Around New York?
Around the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area. That's right. That's Key Food.
How do you figure out who the distributor of your supermarket is?
So you have to find out. So that's part of...
I missed the ramifications.
So BJ's is publicly held.
I missed the ramifications.
It doesn't have a distributor?
BJ's has its own distributor for BJ's.
They're not Jewish.
It's not true. It's publicly held.
What's the ramifications if you were to buy chametz that?
So if I buy, okay. So let's go slowly. So technically speaking, the halacha should be as follows: the chametz that was in the store on Pesach was already bought by Nemesio De Valley. So that chametz is not a problem. Chametz shavar alafa Pesach because it was owned by the guy, right? But what about the chametz that was not in the store when Pesach happened? The chametz that was still in the warehouse, it was still the property of CNS, of Cohen and Siegel. So that stuff should be a problem. So even though I buy it, that chametz became usher bahana'a, and even if it's bought by a guy after, that box of Cheerios is usher. I can't get benefit from that box of Cheerios. Right? That box is mamish going to be usher. No? So this could be a very serious problem. And the paradox of this problem would be that immediately after Pesach, it might be more mutter to buy chametz than some time after. Right? In other words, the day after Pesach, I'll say, oh, go get the chametz, because that chametz presumably was in the store, and the store is non-Jewish owned. But a week or two later, maybe it's more of a problem. Okay? So far, so good?
Yeah.
So now, what happened is, there is a big tzaddik who's the rabbi of Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Yeah,
Rabbi Elazar Meir Teitz.
I lived there.
Right? You lived in Elizabeth, right? I lived in West Orange, but I went to school in Elizabeth at one point in my life.
You went to JC?
I went to JC.
Yeah, so.
Right? So, I sang in the choir.
No way, so did I. Well, all the kids are forced to sing in the choir.
That's correct.
Did you do the Hanukkah song with the flashlights?
I don't remember. This is 1976. This goes back a while. 76, whatever. But, yeah. But the fact is, Rabbi Teitz arranges for the sale of chametz for CNS. Meaning to say, during the week of Pesach, CNS distributors is not owned by Cohen and Siegel. Instead, it's owned by Rabbi Teitz's secretary.
Wow.
Right? So she is in possession of a multi-billion-dollar company. Now, we got a few issues that we have to discuss.
That's crazy.
Right? One issue is like this.
Now,
we know that the way Mechiras Chametz works is I sell Chametz to the guy. The guy gives me a down payment. So he is the full, or she is the full owner of all the Chametz, right? The secretary is a guy, right? The secretary is a guy. She buys the chametz, so the chametz is in the full possession of the guy. So far, so good, right? Because the guy gave a down payment. But can I say that a secretary, as well paid as a secretary of a Rabbi Teitz is, a secretary is going to possibly be the owner of the 11th largest privately held company in the United States? Right? In other words, is it conceivable that you'll come up with billions and billions of dollars to pay for all of this chametz after Pesach? It's very unlikely, and that is one of the reasons why some people call the sale into question.
Why? Because she doesn't have that much money.
Because she doesn't have that money, that amount of money. Now, others say, not such a problem. Other people say, listen.
It's a loan.
Lamaisa, she gave a down payment. Lamaisa, once she gives the down payment, she owns all the chametz. How could she possibly get the money to buy all the chametz? So they have a trick. They say, you know how she could get the money to buy all the chametz? She owns the chametz. She could tell the she could sell the chametz that she owns. Yeah. Right? It's like, that's a chap. Right? In other words, she has to come up with a $3 billion. How she can get the $3 billion? Sell the chametz. You get your $3 billion.
Is that actually yours?
So it's hers.
No.
She gave a down payment before Pesach. It's hers.
What's the point of the next payment?
So the point of the next payment is that I bought it, I made a full kinyan, but I have a chayiv. I owe you the balance of money that this chametz is worth. Just like I could buy in the store. I could go to the store and I could buy a suit. And I'll give a down payment and the suit becomes mine. And I'll buy, and I owe the money, I owe the rest of the value of the suit. And I'll pay up after Yontif or after whenever, when I get my next paycheck. Right, so she owns the chametz, and she'll sell that chametz in theory and get the money to pay for it. Right? Sounds good? But it sounds a little shady. No? Is everyone masking? Now, this problem is a problem in huge scale. There's another problem here. Kiyak,
yada, hara? Yeah, I mean, can you say that when owned by Cohen and Rabbi Siegel, that during Pesach, the chametz has no value to them since they aren't allowed to have hana? Therefore, like, they would be willing to sell it for anything.
Okay, so the problem is that that's not the way it works. In other words, Cohen and Siegel are not going to tell you that they think that their chametz has no value. Right? Never in a million years would they say that. They want the billions of dollars that the chametz is worth.
But philosophically, they don't care.
They don't care so much. Again, these aren't so... Now, there's another problem here. Another problem. And this other problem is also the focus that we have to discuss today. Let's say I sell you... Let's take a case that it's not a... Goyish-owned supermarket. Let's say I have a Jewish-owned supermarket. I have a store called Yankel's. Right? Jewish-owned place. It's owned by Yankel. A good yid mit pious. But Yankel has pious, but he... But Yankel has pious, but he's not so pious. So he sells chametz on Pesach, but he goes into his store in Chol HaMoed, or in Yom Tov itself, and he does business with that chametz. Or, right, I could tell you another case. I have a whiskey store here in Washington Heights, located at the corner of Bennett Avenue and 181st Street.
Is that actually?
It's a Jewish-owned whiskey store owned by a Russian Jewish immigrant.
Is he a boss?
So he called me, and he says, Rabbi Shvat, however the Russian pronounces my name, he says, I want you to sell my store for Pesach. Now, I say, Alex, are you going to continue doing business in the store over Pesach? Now, this is a whiskey store, okay? Whiskey stores have a heck of a lot of chametz in them, no? All of the whiskey is chametz. What?
Every ounce.
I mean, not every ounce. They also sell wine. Wine is not chametz. But there's a lot of rum and gin and whiskey and scotch and Kentucky bourbon and, you know, Weiss nicht was, right? So they have a lot of stuff over there. I asked Alex, what's your inventory? He told me, and it's a decent-sized whiskey store, $250,000 of chametz. So Alex asked me, can he sell it? So I say, Alex, I say, Alex, are you going to continue doing business? Of course he's going to continue business. He's going to lose a week of business, right? And let's be honest, most of the whiskey that he sells goes to Goyim, but there's enough Jews who buy from him that he wants to earn money.
You can't do that on Pesach.
Right? So he's not going to sell the chametz to the Jews on Pesach. My balabatim aren't going to buy chametz on Pesach, but can they buy chametz from Alex after Pesach? Right, so Alex sold his chametz. You'll go to the store. It's on Bennett Avenue, 181st Street. You'll see a letter with my name on it. Rabbi Ezra Y. Schwartz arranged for the sale of Bennett liquor and wine. Now, there's a problem, no? What's the problem? He sold it, but did he really mean to sell it? He's continuing to do business the same way, right? Afterwards, after it was sold, is before it's sold. So what type of sale is that? Isn't that what we would call in halacha a lack of gemiras das? A sale means I mean to transfer ownership. Do I really mean to transfer the ownership to you? Now, let's say Alex sells the chametz to John Brown. He's my guy. So John Brown, Alex is Jewish, John Brown is non-Jewish. John now owns the store. When Alex goes into the store in Yontif and sells the chametz, Alex is now a ganev. Right? If I sell something that's not my own, that is called, I sell you the Brooklyn Bridge.
Alex
that makes me a ganev.
Alex
works in the store. Alex has workers who work in the store also, but Alex also works in the store. But it ain't his store. It's John Brown's store.
Couldn't you be considered an employee of John Brown?
Maybe. Maybe, and that's what we do. We make Alex an employee of John Brown, but we've got very serious problems because what type of sale is this on the store that says, you know what, I'm selling it, but it's still, right, everything that happened yesterday is happening today. That's a very funny type of sale arrangement. That's not the way sales usually work, no? Usually the new owner takes control. So what exactly is this based on? Now, just to give you the punchline, right, and then we'll go through the sources. Reb Moshe Feinstein feels that the sales work, and Reb Moshe feels that it's a good idea for a Rav to arrange for the sale of a supermarket, a Jewish-owned supermarket that will continue doing business on Pesach, or a Jewish-owned liquor store continue doing business on Pesach, or a C&S that will continue doing business on Pesach. Reb Moshe feels it's a good idea. Rav Soloveitchik felt the entire sale is batel umavutal. It does not work at all. Ready? That is the punchline. So when it comes to the punchline, can I buy food and key food? Can I buy chametz and key food now? So it happens that key food is better than most places. Much of the chametz was in the store beforehand. The Breuer's community arranges that key food gets an extra shipment before Pesach that they store and they put stickers on and says this was purchased by Nemesio de Valley before Pesach. You can go to key food and buy stuff with the stickers. Definitely not chametz of Lava Pesach. It's gevaldik. The average stuff on the shelf in key food, is it permitted to buy? So, we have a few tzadim lahakel. C&S sells the chametz. It works according to Reb Moshe. Doesn't work according to the Rav. Even if it doesn't work according to the Rav, though, every box of Cheerios that I buy is a suffix of chametz shavar alav ha-pesach, no? Because maybe that box of Cheerios that I buy now was in the store over Pesach. Maybe it was by the distributor. If it was by the distributor, according to the Rav, it's chametz shavar alav ha-pesach. If it was by the store, it's not chametz shavar alav ha-pesach. So what's the din of suffix chametz?
The store sold it?
The store is non-Jewish owned.
Oh.
The Messio is non-Jewish. I probably shouldn't. I don't think he minds if I use his name on tape. Right? Nemesio is non-Jewish. So what's the story? Any box of Cheerios that I buy, right, is a suffix chametz shavar alav ha-pesach. What should be the dinner? Suffix chametz shavar alav ha-pesach. What? Why? Suffix rabbanon lahakel. So it should be mutter based on suffix rabbanon lahakel. But we have a general principle in halacha. If I could avoid a suffix, I should. Histalik min ha-safik, the Mishnah tells us in Avos, no? So therefore, if I could buy something that has the Breuer sticker, why not? Gevaldik, avoid the suffik. If not, it's mutter, it's a suffik. Now the suffik is also a little more complicated because it's an additional suffik over here. Even the stuff that's by the distributor, right? The distributor can only sell the chametz that he owned at the time that the sale was done. Any chametz that comes to the distributor on Pesach couldn't be sold. Just like a supermarket. I can only sell the stuff that I have now. I can't sell a Darish Loba La'olam. That's what it says in Nozir Daf Yud Aleph, no? I'm not allowed to sell Darish Loba La'olam. So, an additional wrinkle in all of these...
What?
Davar shalom bala olam. I can't sell something that hasn't come yet. What? I'm allowed to sell something that I have now, but I can't sell the box of Cheerios that I will buy tomorrow.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
To sell stock futures. Well, okay, that's already. How many of you guys are in Sims? Okay. So we can discuss the futures market in terms of davar shalom bala olam. We can end up with very interesting. It could be that the halacha would not recognize this type of sale, and that's why selling futures is probably an isser ribbis. No?
Because you don't plan on actually
Because I can't sell something I don't really have. What a future means is that I'm borrowing the shares, no? And I'm betting that it will be worth a certain amount of money, either up or down, right, based on the way I foresee the market playing out. Now, okay.
Well, I don't get what that has to do with promise, though.
So, I mean, the basic halacha is I can't buy, I can't sell something I don't own.
Yeah.
So the supermarket, or that is Jewish owned and sells its chametz, could sell the chametz that it has in inventory right now. But what about the chametz, or my liquor store, can sell the chametz it had in inventory, the $250,000 it had then. What about the stuff that's going to come later? The stuff that will come, right, he'll get a delivery on Pesach. Can you sell that? No.
So
it's not yours
yet.
So, so for those bottles of scotch that come on Pesach, they weren't really sold.
So that's even a problem. You're saying that even according to Moshe, it's a problem.
So even according to Moshe, that it works, there would be a problem on the stuff that comes after. But I have a, it blibes a suffix. I don't know which bottle comes after, which bottle doesn't.
But, I mean, it's going too far because it's only it's really it's a problem. We don't we want to penalize people. Why should I get penalized and not be able to...
So Chazal feel that we want to penalize everybody so that people will take the Isser of Chametz more seriously. In order to protect the Isser of Chametz, they impose this Isser called Chametz Sha'avar Alav Pesach. And you're right, right? We're penalizing the guy who bought it, and the Hanami. And by the way, and if I buy Chametz Sha'avar Alav Pesach, I can't even return it to the store because then I'm getting Hana'ah from the Chametz. Remember, this box of Raisin Bran that I buy after Pesach...
But I'm
right?
careful about Chametz. Like, doesn't apply to me. I'm careful about Chametz. It's after Pesach. I want to eat.
But I should all... We want to encourage all Jews to be careful about Chametz, right? So if this penalty were to take effect, everyone would be careful about it, and that would really help us. Okay, so now... Reb Moshe Feinstein assumes the sale is good, but only good for the stuff that's in the store at the moment of sale. Stuff that comes after will be a problem, but the stuff that comes after, right, I don't know which bottles come after the sale was made, so it remains a suffix, so suffix Chametz Sha'avar Alav HaPesach is still going to be mutter, l'cha'ora. But, right, maybe it's better not to buy from these stores because you're entering a suffix, right? Maybe it's better to buy from a completely goyish-owned store after. Good? That is the first issue. Now, let's learn the Igris Moshe. Let's learn Reb Moshe, and we'll talk about some of his svaras over here. Then we'll talk about why Rav Salvechik didn't hold of it. And there's some really interesting things that come up in this tshuva. There are three tshuvas in Igris Moshe about selling chametz in a Jewish-owned store that will continue doing business over Pesach. The first is Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Mem Tes. Second is the one I give you, is Chelek Beis Simen Tzadi Aleph. And the third is in Chelek Dalet Simen Tzadi Dalet. Okay? Three different tshuvas. This tshuva is written, Leva'er HaTo'elas Demechiras Chametz, right? Ma'alas Kvod Yedidi Harav Hagon Reb David Rackman. Anyone know who Reb David Rackman was? No. Anyone know who Manny Rackman was? Okay. So you guys don't know Yeshiva University history. Rabbi Manny Rackman was the rabbi of the most prominent modern Orthodox shul in Long Island for many years. He was like the dean of modern Orthodox rabbis in Long Island. He was also vice president of Yeshiva University under Dr. Belkin. The shul was called Congregation Shaarei Tefila. Rabbi Shmuel Belkin was the second president of Yeshiva University, right? Under Dr. Belkin, Rabbi Rackman was like the most powerful guy in YU in those years. Rabbi Rackman
Who
was...
Who is it now?
What? Who's like the vice president of YU now?
Who's the most powerful?
Oh, not for now, okay? Let's just try to... What? The pause.
Oh, pause the thing.
What?
Pause the...
Oh, pause it. Nah. I can't tell you all the secrets. So now, that's for sure true. Hey, come on, you've known me long enough. I'm glad I have these secrets. Now, the fact is, Rabbi Rackman was a very important rabbi. Rabbi Manuel Rackman was a very prominent rabbi. He was on the left wing edge of modern Orthodox rabbinim. At one point, Rav Soloveitchik came out strongly against him when Rabbi Rackman advocated for Bittul Kedushin L'Mafreya. Rabbi Rachman advocated to solve the Aguna crisis by nullifying the marriages of men who were not giving get into their wives. And the Rav gave a whole shiur attacking Rabbi Rachman. It was big news. Big news. Rabbi Rachman in later years was the founder of Bar Ilan University in Israel. He made Aliyah. He founded Bar Ilan. Very prominent fellow. Rabbi Rachman's father was a Rosh Yeshiva in YU named Reb David Rachman. You see that? Reb David Rachman is the father of Rabbi Emanuel Rachman. He was a Rosh Yeshiva here in YU, a Goyin Olam. Right? And his son is Rabbi Emanuel Rachman, who's like the most prominent rabbi in that period of the United States. Again, you could Google him, you'll see lots of interesting things. Rabbi David Rachman had a taina to Reb Moshe. He said, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, you are permitting the sale of chametz of these supermarkets when they will continue doing business on Pesach. Right? Remember, by selling the chametz, that means that the Jew, right, in my case, my liquor store, Alex, when he continues to sell the chametz, he becomes a ganav, no? He's stealing the chametz. And what is gained by this sale? That was Reb David Rachman's taina. So let's read a little bit in the Igris Moshe. Hine. Bidvar ha'arato al masha katavti b'sifri Igris Moshe, sh'achen v'nim ha'mochim chemtzam ha'idei ha'rav kanahug, v'achen v'ni chashud sh'yimkar mizeh ha'chametz b'pesach. The chenveni, the storekeeper, is suspected that he will continue to sell the chametz on Pesach. Shemikom makom lo nivtala hamechira, ela alma shalakach avar abal yirae shehu kikone mechadash o kigozel. Right. In other words, when Moshe wrote that the lo nivtala hamechira, the mechira is not batal, but you become a stealer on the bit of chametz that you took. So Rabbi Rachman had a taina she'he'erakvotorato haram, that the exalted Talmud Chacham had the ha'ara, right? Rabbi Rachman had the ha'ara, demar narviach mizeh she'nizdakek lo. What do we accomplish by getting involved in this sale? Why should a rabbi get involved in this sale, Rabbi Rachman said? What?
He's owning that which he sells.
Because when I sell the chametz, so now the chametz is not mine. If I then go and do business with that chametz after I sold it, I am stealing.
Can you say that since any bottle that somebody would come in and would want to buy, he would sell that, he's stealing everything?
So he's selling everything, but the bottle, right? A bottle that's sold when? I sell all the inventory in my store.
Yeah, and then he would sell anything, so he should be over Balyurai on everything.
So you have a taina that you should violate Bayur on everything. Because once you're stealing some of the chametz, right, you end up violating Bayur on everything. That's what you taina.
It's not like all of a sudden he steals it when the guy
What Yoni is saying, good ha'ara, Yoni is saying that by selling some of the chametz on Pesach, that shows that I never sold any of the chametz seriously, right? And then I violate Bayur Ra'eh not on some of the chametz, but on all the chametz. Reb Moshe disagrees with you. Reb Moshe says you only violate Bayur Ra'eh on some of the chametz. But there are many Gedolim who agree with Yoni on the Maharam Shek in the Tshuva. Okay, there's a case like this. This comes up every few years. Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. No? That ever happens in your lifetime? Happened like 4 years ago, 5 years ago? When Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos? Okay. It comes out on Shabbos. So what do you do when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos? When does the rabbi sell the chametz? Answer is Friday, no? Friday, which is not Erev Pesach, but Erev Pesach. Good? Now, there's a problem. The good Halig Yidden want to drink some of their Brunfin Friday night at dinner.
Brunfin? Beer?
Brunfin is like a type of schnapps. Like this. Right? Schnapps, they want to drink whiskey Friday night. A good Hasidic Yid drinks whiskey Friday night at dinner, no? You know these guys.
Yeah.
Right? They show up in Philadelphia on Cholom Moed. So, the problem is that when you drink that chametz Friday night, the chametz is already sold. So now you're a ganev. No? And if you're a ganev, So it shows that you never wanted the sale to be chal Friday afternoon.
So it's market.
So the Maharam Shif writes in the Tshuva. The Maharam Shif writes in the Tshuva that the entire sale, Morai Rabotai Shim'u, the entire sale is batel mevutal. The entire sale is null and void. Because, like what Yoni was saying, once you're stealing some of the chametz, that shows you right? You don't want to be a ganev. So obviously, if I'm drinking it, that shows I had in mind that it's really mine. That's really my chametz. If it's really my chametz, that means that when I asked the rabbi to sell it for me, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. If I didn't mean it, that means the sale don't work. So the Maharam Shif felt the sale does not work at all. But Reb Moshe has chiddush number one. Reb Moshe says the sale works a little bit. The sale works for the chametz that you don't sell, but those bottles that you do sell, you become a ganev on. So then Rabbi Rachman had a taina, what do we gain by doing the sale? So Reb Moshe answers, ready? Hine, third line. Le'elo shelocha mimenu achar pesach, shelo yikashlo be'isr chamech aval ar pesach vaday hu revach. It's a benefit not for the storekeeper, but for the buyers. Right? So if I go to Bennett Avenue 181st, I buy a bottle of whiskey now. Right? And the sale is a toelis for me, because I could buy that whiskey. Good?
Since it was not sold.
Because that whiskey was not sold on Pesach. Right? If it was not sold on Pesach, so it was the property of the goy the entire Pesach. So that bottle of booze that I'm buying now was not chamech of our love of Pesach. Oh, so far so good. V'gam, hu yarviach shelo ya'avar abal yera'eh, ad sheyikach mehem, v'rak ad sheyechlam hakoneh. Right? Moreover, you accomplish, even the storekeeper accomplishes, Zuck v'Moshe, that you do not violate bal yera'eh for the first few moments of yontiv. At what point did I sell this bottle of whiskey? First day chol hamoed, let's say. But for the first 2 days of yontiv, day one and day two, the chametz is the property of the guy. It only becomes my property, Zakt v'Moshe, from the moment that I sell it.
Isn't he saying until even when the buyer eats it, drinks it?
Correct. That's
So meaning you could sell it and never be over value your eye if it doesn't
never drunk. Correct. I mean that's a detail within Hilchos Gezeila. Based on that's Sugya's Imperik Meruba, that a ganev is only kona with a shinui. Right, and the shinui might be the shinui that the liquor is drunk. Okay, that
doesn't mean that it shouldn't be seen. If it's sold, you're okay.
If it's sold, I don't violate Ba'yirah. But once I steal it, I violate Ba'yirah. Ganev. If I steal it and I eat it, then I violate Ba'yirah. That's correct. Now, then Reb Moshe writes like this.
That's not yours. Ba'yirah doesn't mean.
So Reb Moshe writes like this. Moreover, I accomplish that most of the chametz that is in my store is not going to be sold. Remember, if I have a big store, $250,000 of inventory, I have a big store, most of that is not going to be sold, right? More bottles of whiskey on the shelves than there are that are stolen. So what the Rav accomplishes by selling the chametz is that Alex does not violate Bal Yira'eh on those bottles that stay on the shelves. Again, this is all against the Maharam Shik that we mentioned before. Now, then Reb Moshe has a problem in the paragraph that begins Va'af, and this is like a really lumdisha problem. The problem is like this. The Rambam writes that if I am, usually, do I get Malkus on Bal Yira'eh or Bal Yimotze?
Misa!
If I eat it! But let's say I don't eat it. Let's say I have a bottle of a box of Cheerios that I own over Pesach. It's a Lav She'im Bo Ma'isa. So a Lav She'im Bo Ma'isa don't get Malkus, correct? But Judaism 101. Lav She'im Bo Ma'isa doesn't get Malkus. Now, but when I sold the chametz, right, to the guy, and then I take the bottle of whiskey and I sell it to somebody else, then I end up violating Vayira Vayimotze with the Maisa. So Rabbi Rachman apparently had a long Shataina to Moshe Feinstein.
What was the Maisa Gneva?
The Maisa is Gneva. That the you see, if I would never have sold Alex's chametz for him, so Alex would never get Malkus on the Bal Yira, Bal Yimotzei. But now, because I as a rabbi went and I sold the chametz for Alex.
To
John, right? From Alex to John with love, right? So now that I sold the... that didn't sound so good. Now that I sold the chametz to John, right? So when Alex takes the chametz, he is violating Bal Yira Bal Yimotzei actively. So Reb David Rachman had a tiny to Reb Moshe, isn't... Right? I'm not doing this Alex a favor... Because now what I'm doing is I'm creating a situation that he violates a lav sheyesh bo ma'isa. Now, you would say, well, today we don't get Malkus anyway, so what difference does it make? The answer is, if I violate a lav sheyesh bo ma'isa, I become posel la'edos. It says on Chosha Mishpat Simin la'medalad. But if I violate a lav she'ein bo ma'isa, I'm not posel la'edos, no? You're posel
la'edos if you do any lav?
If you violate a lav sheyesh bo ma'isa, this is, I probably told you, this is like the biggest issue I have in my community, if to find a day kedushin. Right? No, to, well, again, someone who violates it and knows he's violating it. If they violate it unintentionally, occasionally, that's not a big deal. But if I violate a lav sheyesh bo ma'isa knowing it's usher, this is the problem I have in my community. Like, how do I find a day kedushin who keep the iser of not kissing and hugging people of the opposite gender? No?
Do you mean their aunts?
Huh? Let's talk about not their aunts, okay? Right? In other words, chibuk and nishuk of arayos is a lav sheyesh bo ma'isa, no? You become pasol la'edos. Now, most people who do that, I think, realize that it's wrong, but they do it anyway, no?
I do it to my aunt.
Again, I tell people sometimes, my job is a rabbi, I don't take confession. For a confession, you have to go to Argentina and speak to the Pope over there or something. Right? I don't do confessions. Right, we like you, Shimmy.
He wants to know if he's puzzled.
Huh? Again, so, that's a further conversation. The Lashon HaRambam, when it comes to sisters and aunts and stuff, sounds like it's a davar mechu'ar. It might not be the full-fledged iser. That's a full share to give about that also. It's a full share to give, not for now. What?
Who cares?
Nobody cares. Everyone likes this topic. It's like everyone's favorite topic, right? It's like high school all again. Fine. But the fact is...
No, it's the only one.
That's mutter. That's mutter. That's not a big deal. No. So Rabbi Rachman had the time to tell Moshe that don't I violate the Isser in a more active way because it was sold, which is worse. Yeah, so look at this. The second paragraph. Yeah, it's a b'maisa. We now get Malkus. We'll be im lo yim kakon of Pesach. We'll be below maisa. B'nim se shele inyan hama ak sheikach yosef hayotov shelo yim kak kadeh shetia aviraso below maisa. Shelo mischai Malkus. Zot Reb Moshe achidish. Moshe says, achidish lahalacha, that it's better to violate fewer isurim in a more active way than more isurim in a less active way. What's better? Right? Remember, I have $250,000 of scotch in my store. Right? If I don't sell the chametz to the rabbi, I violate Bal Yira Bal Yimotzei on an inventory of $250,000 of scotch, but it's all lav she'ein bo ma'isa. If I sell it through the rabbi, so now I violate Bal Yira Bal Yimotzei, let's say, on $10,000 of scotch, but I do it actively. Now $240,000 of scotch, right, I don't violate at all. So what's better? So Reb Moshe has a brilliant raya. Look at this raya that Reb Moshe has. Reb Moshe writes, Riboy Halavin.
Which line is this?
The second paragraph. That's from Eino Klum. The second line. The last word of the second line. We're still on the first side of the page. We might have gotten nowhere so far. First side of the page. So Eino Klum. This that Yutaina, that it would be better not to do a sale, so that it's all $250,000 of Lam She'en Bo Ma'isa. Zot Reb Moshe Eino Klum. Eino Klum means it's nothing. It's a bad svara, Rabbi Rachman. Chada de lo ya'avar al harbe shiurim yoseh mimasha yikneh. First of all, there's much more that you won't violate. V'riboy halavin de belo ma'isa neged hamiyot de b'ma'isa chamor elu hamerubin. In other words, it's worse to violate more isurim with lav she'en bo ma'isa than fewer isurim with lav she'yesh bo ma'isa. V'ayin b'ran yuma daf.
The other way around.
Moshe says it's better to arrange for the sale, because when I arrange for the sale, Alex ends up violating, right? Alex ends up violating fewer isurim because he's only violating on $10,000. Right? If I wouldn't sell his inventory, he'd violate the Isur Chametz on all $250,000. Now that I sell his inventory, he violates it only on $10,000, even though the $10,000 that he violates in a more active sort of way. But it's better to violate, right, fewer isurim more actively than more isurim passively. That's what Moshe says.
How do you know you have to look at it that selling it is more isurim instead of saying that's actually less? Because it's not about the shear that you have, it's the amount of isurim you do. If you don't sell it, you're over on one. And if you do sell it,
I'm also,
each one that you sell is going to be one.
Okay.
It's not 10,
So. So Yoni's hitting home runs today. Mamish hitting home runs. So that's Reb Moshe Sternbach's taina. Reb Moshe Sternbach says, who says bal yira er bal yimotzei, right? Who says it's the type of... Reb Moshe is assuming that for every kezias of chametz, let's say, I violate more bal yira'ez. Reb Moshe Sternbach says, who says that's true? Maybe the isser is having any chametz in my possession. And this is Reb Moshe Sternbach chelek gimel simon kuf tes zayin. And he says, and once I have one kezias, let's say, so it don't matter if I have one or one bazillion, right? It's all the same. Reb Moshe obviously disagrees. Reb Moshe says that every kezias of bal yira'ez is worse. Reb Moshe Sternbach, at the end of his tshuva, he's mefalpel back and forth. At the end of the tshuva, he says that he might have raya from some gemaras that Reb Moshe Feinstein is right, and he's wrong, but he really thinks intuitively like what you're suggesting. But look at this raya that Reb Moshe has. There's a case in Meseches Yuma. Let's say you have a chole sheyesh by sakana. Right? You have a really sick person. So the really sick person has to eat meat on Yom Kippur. No? Is it better to give him treif meat? Right? And he'll eat the treif meat, treif non-shechted meat. Or should I shecht the cow for him and he'll eat the kosher meat? Now, shechting on Yom Kippur is also aser, no? Right? It's a malacha to shecht. So the Ran in Yuma has a famous machlekes about this point with the Rashba, but we pass in like the Ran in Shulchan Aruch. And the Ran writes, Lagabe chole, chomer nevela mishabes. Nevela is more chomer, and therefore if nevela is more chomer, therefore it's better to shecht the cow and give meat that's no longer nevela. That's kosher. Why? Dinihi din nevela iser lav, v'shabes iser skila, but ikka chumra achrin al fisha oichla oiver belav al kol kezayis azayis, v'shabes lo over al achad lav. Zub the Ran, says in Yisoy, when I shecht the cow, how many isurim is there? There's one isur in shechting the cow. Even though that's a very serious isur, that's an isur of shechting on Yom Kippur, it's a serious matter, but it's one time. If I don't shecht the cow, and you eat the treif meat, how many isurim are you violating? A million! Every kezias is an isur. And you see from the Ran that it's better to violate a more serious avera one time, rather than a less serious avera many, many times. And therefore, Moshe Feinstein says that, you know what? It's better to arrange the sale of the chametz, even though he'll violate a more serious avera, an avera of lav sheyesh bo ma'isa, but he'll violate fewer of those lav sheyesh bo ma'isas rather than more lav she'en bo ma'isas. That's a Moshe's chiddush that he proves in this Ran in Yuma. Isn't that brilliant? You guys have like an appreciation for how much of a Talmud Chacham it takes to pull this one out? That's good. It's gevaldik, no? That's Reb Moshe's raya. So Reb Moshe says that you have to sell the chametz for the store, but Reb Moshe says you should tell people not to buy from the store after Pesach anyway. Because if they buy chametz from the store, it could be that they'll be buying chametz shavar lava Pesach, they'll be buying the stuff that was delivered on Pesach. Right? That's what Moshe writes in the paragraph Aval Ha'ikar. Now, also, the concern that Ramosha has is a concern that the store owner is a ganav. The way we do it today, turn to this agreement that I have the back page of this packet. Okay, this is the shtar that Alex signed to sell his... Here's another one. The shtar that Alex signed to sell his liquor store. Right? Note number three. Number three at the end is the key. Right? Basically, there's a down payment that's made now of 5 cents for the company, and the rest will be paid afterwards. Number three is a way that we solve some of the issues. The buyer does hereby employ the company through its agent to receive deliveries and produce products to the buyer during the period of the contract. The fee for these services will be as determined by three recognized experts, for which buyer does hereby give as a down payment 5 cents for each of the enumerated companies. In other words, well, it should be a Shavapruta. A Shavapruta today is probably 3 cents or so. We do five, what the heck. That's not so significant here. But the point is, the way we do it, we're trying to solve the problem. We don't want Alex to be a ganav. If Alex is a ganav, Alex violates Vayirah. So what we're saying is, you know what, that Alex is selling the store to John Brown. John Brown is employing Alex to work, right, for his store. So what we're doing is, right, now Alex is an employee of John Brown to arrange for the delivery, so he doesn't become a ganav, and in that way we solve one of Moshe's problems. Now Rav Soloveitchik felt that these sales do not work at all. Turn to the page here from the Sefer Mipnine Harav, the page that's on the opposite side of this contract. Right? This is Rav Shachter Sefer Mipnine Harav. He quotes Psukim of Rav Soloveitchik, and he writes that Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his Tshuvas, has about storekeepers who ask the rabbi to sell their chametz, but they will do business with the chametz during Pesach. Right? Rav Moshe says it does not create bittul on the mechira. And based on this, v'alpi dvarav, yesh rabbanim shenahagu l'sadeh mechirat chametz gam ba'ad chanuyot or chevrot gedolot shememshichot lasok b'mischar hachametz shalahem lehedya. Right? Notice the stores continue to be open and they sell it even on Pesach. Rabbeinu haya omer, right? And the Rav used to say, shezechucha v'itzlula, this is a joke. Share me acha shami yodun shabadaitim lahamshech laso the misra chamit shalahem karagil, because we know they continue to sell the chamit the same as before. Hariza hulchacha shabe emes ein lam das lahaknos eschem som klal the choshvim betoos shashtar haharsha azeh inyan shal ceremonia datit. Who knows what ceremonia datit means? Religious ceremony, right? In other words, the fact that they continue to do business after the chametz is sold, the same as before the chametz is sold, shows that they didn't really intend to sell the chametz, and they view it just like a religious ceremony. And look what it says in Shulchan Aruch Chayshim Mishpat, the end of Simin Sadi Tes. Look in Chayshim Mishpat, the end of Simin Sadi Tes. That is in your packets on the third typed page. I have Chayshim Mishpat Simin Sadi Tes Tes. This is a horror for Ibelsky. This Ibelsky is pointing out that there's a se'if in Shulchan Aruch that seems to say that these types of mechiras chametzes do not work at all. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Misha kana karka. Now if I buy karka, so the halacha is that anything I buy is mishubit to my wife's ksuba. In the eventuality that I die or I get divorced, so my wife is entitled to collect a ksuba from anything that I buy. Correct? That's what we write in the ksuba, right? Any karka that I buy, I happen to rent. I don't think I own any karka anywhere, but any karka that I would buy would be mishubin to my wife's ksuba. That's the din. So let's say I buy karka, misha kana karka vehitne b'shata kinyan, and I make a tnai at the time that I buy it. Shelo yehela ishto shibud ksubasa alav. I make a tnai that I don't want my wife to be entitled to collect ksuba from this karka. Or I buy the karka, and I say, by the way, put it under my brother's name. Why do I want to put it under my brother's name? Because every good yid knows how to make these, right? Kunsin. You say, I don't want it to be on my name. If it's in my name, my wife will collect her ksuba from it. I'll put it under my brother's name. And she still collects the ksuba. Shulchan Aruch says, basically, that if we have an umdana, there's our Ibelsky's Raya, if I have an umdana, I know for sure that you're only making this deal in order to circumvent a halachic process, right? I don't want my wife to collect the ksuba, so I say, put it in my brother's name. So that doesn't help. It doesn't help at all. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Good? So Zot Rabbi Belsky, the same thing over here. The guy makes a sale, but it's like there's an umdana. And the fact that he's continuing to do business shows he doesn't want the sale to work. So the sale is batel mevutal. It does not work at all. Now, this raya domani is not such a strong raya, because there are many halachas in Shulchan Aruch that we treat ksuba differently than other areas of halacha. In other words, we want a wife to have recourse to collect her ksuba from ground, from karka, from the land. And in order to make sure she'll be able to collect her ksuba, mishum iguna hikilu barabonon, they said that we will allow you to collect, even though in most cases you would not be able to collect. In other words, in most cases, putting something in the name of a different entity would work. But maybe ksuba is different. So it seems to me like this raya is not such a strong raya. However, Moshe Sternbuch, in his tshuvas that I give you, in Chelek Aleph, Simon Reish Peches, Moshe Sternbuch has a different raya. His raya is that the sale does not work at all. Right? His raya is that the sale does not work at all. What's his raya? Here. Pick up from the second big paragraph in Rav Moshe Sternbuch's Tshuvas. Va'anochi al-mishmarati omeid. Right? Now there's a certain Rav in South Africa who made these sales. Rav Moshe Sternbuch says, I will defend it. And he tainas that even though they permit selling chametz, etc. And vehevati divrei ha-mishnah berurah. The second sentence in that second paragraph, where he begins vehevasi. I quote it from the Mishnah Berurah. Shem chasam b'mafteach sha'akom eino yachol likanes lo chal ha-mechira klal av shemach ha-kedin shemitoch ma'isav mochiach d'lon niskavein. Rav Moshe Sternbuch has the following raya. It says in the Mishnah Berurah, let's say I sell the chametz to a goy, and after I sell the chametz to the goy, I take a padlock and I put it on the cabinet so the goy can't get in. Is the mechira chal?
No.
Mishnah Berurah says absolutely not. Zot Rav Moshe Sternbuch, what's the pshat in that? Because it shows the fact that I'm putting a lock is megale. That shows that I never really meant to sell it. Because if I would think that it's really not mine, I can't lock up your stuff. So, here also, if I continue to do business, it shows that the sale is not chal at all. That's Rav Moshe Sternbuch's raya. Worth thinking about. Yeah?
If it's a kind of simple sale level, you put tape on the door. Is that considered like the same thing?
So again, if it's something that could easily come off, I don't think that's mevato. But if I put a padlock...
Even though it could easily come off, it still serves as an indication...
Right, so maybe according to Rav Moshe Sternbuch, if I do anything after a sale that shows I didn't intend for the sale to be chal, the sale is not going to be chal. Now, this is already questionable. Lamaisa, if I make a sale to you, I can't unilaterally end that sale. If I sell you my car, no? So now the car is yours. Right? So you can't unilaterally say, oh, it's not mine, I'm going to give it back. Right? You can only give it back if I want it back, no? That's like a basic principle in halacha. So this whole Mishnah Berurah is hard to understand. I sold you the chametz, and then I put a lock on the door. Isn't that like unilaterally that I'm declaring that the sale isn't working? Right? But that, such a unilateral declaration doesn't impact on the sale. That's what Reb Gedalia Felder taught. Reb Gedalia Felder was a Rav in Toronto, and his Sefer Yisod HaYishon is like one of the classics on Hilchos Pesach. He has this taina. It's a strong taina. So Lamaisa, we have many issues in terms of these sales, right? Many issues. One issue is, does the sale work at all? Right? The Rav felt it doesn't work. The Maram Shik felt it doesn't work, like we mentioned. Reb Moshe Sternbach feels it doesn't work. Reb Moshe Feinstein, Reb Gedalia Felder, and the Chelkas Yaakov, they all say that it does work. The Chelkas Yaakov has a different cheshbon for why it works. He says it works because in the contract that he drew up, they would only assess the price of the chametz based on the amount of chametz that remains at the end of Pesach. So what emerges is that any chametz that was sold during Pesach was never included in the sale. So you're a ganav on that. So you're not a ganav on that chametz, right? It was never part of the sale. You violated by Uriah, but fine, you would violate by Uriah anyway. That's what the Chalkas Yaakov says. I give you the Chalkas Yaakov in the packet. The fact is, many Gedolim felt the sale does not work at all, but Moshe Feinstein of Gedalia Felder and the Chalkas Yaakov says it does work. So, I do it. I'm a bum. I do the sale, even though the Rav is not comfortable with it. But I tell people, don't buy from the liquor store. Don't buy until Shavuos. The minig was that after Shavuos, you can buy liquor. At that point already, there was enough, it may have cycled through.
Why does he do it?
Why does he do it? He does it for the people who don't buy, the people who don't read my letter to the community carefully. I write in the letter to the community that I arrange for the sale of chametz for Alex at the corner of Bennett Avenue 181st. But I write that the question that the first paragraph I have describes this entire issue with distributors. And I say that the same question with distributors applies to this store also. And I don't say explicitly don't buy there, but I think I make it pretty clear that people who read the letter know that it's not a preferred place to buy chametz after Pesach. Buying from Key Food is different, no? Buying from Key Food is different because of the suffix aspect. Because it could be that this chametz that I'm buying was in the store over Pesach. Right? And as an additional suffix, remember that we have the fact that CNS was sold. The sale of CNS is the same as the sale of my liquor store. It's a sale that they continue doing business over Yontif. Again, there is a suffix involved. Reb Moshe Feinstein and the Chalkas Yaakov of Gedalia Felder felt it works. But I'm not so convinced that it works. So in the situation, there's an additional suffix, right? Because you go from distributor to store. And you're never sure which is which. So then I think relying on the suffix is good enough. It's a suffix that you can't really be mevarer, no? So if you could buy the product to have the Breuer stickers, gewaldig. If you can't buy a product that has the Breuer stickers, let's say they're out of Breuer's Cheerios, so buy any other box of Cheerios. It's a suffix chomei shavar lo v'pesach. Suffix chomei shavar lo v'pesach is going to be mutter. Again, the amazing thing about this sugya is just how much lumdus there is in like one silly question about buying from Key Food. Okay, Chavra, I hope you have a good Shabbos. And we have to get back into serious Talmud Torah, Gemara, Rashi, Tosis, and
Ritva.
Right, that's serious Talmud Torah. Okay, Kotov.